Amen, amen. How's everybody this morning? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, we are supposed to be in Jeremiah, and I've mentioned before, in fact, I had you pray for me. I said, this is really rough. And I don't know if I'm being selfish, but, you know, my soul is saved, and I've been appealing for so many years to so many people to get saved. And sometimes when you preach messages to just save people, it just takes so much out of you. And I petitioned the Lord once again, and I said, Lord, I'm going to finish the series, but Lord, you got to let me, please allow me to go in and out, just for my own sake, if you would. And God blessed me this week and said, all right, I'll grant you another reprieve. And so this morning we're going to go back outside of Jeremiah, and we want to talk about, and I don't know who this is for, but the Lord is appealing to somebody. Don't give up and don't give in to defeat. Don't give up and don't give in to defeat. Now, sometimes God allows things in our life at different stages for use later on. We go through something now. We don't understand why. What is this, Lord? But unbeknownst to us, later on in life, we're going to need that very thing we're going through, if we learn something through it. Now, of course, we don't understand it at the time, and it's extremely unpleasant. And that's putting it lightly. Difficult and hard circumstances never are pleasing. But I will say this, many times they are useful for preparation, even without us realizing. My parents got divorced when I was about, 3 years old. And for the next several years of my life, it was absolute chaos. Oh my God. I had deep pain and deep poverty. My whole life seemed to be racked with nothing but just downs, no ups. And this went on for many, many, many years. And when I look at that part of my life now, I realize that God has used that difficulty in my life, because now I speak to a whole lot of people who have gone through the exact same thing. Unfortunately, many of them were broken by similar incidents. Even when I started preaching at 19, my pastor used to send me on the worst assignments. Oh my God. And he told me that it would help me in my future ministry. And I'm like, huh? Well, this is a horrible assignment. You know, he sent me to some area, some group of people who were just hard. I mean, in a small group. It was bad. And I thought it was so horrible. It was some kind of a punishment or something. Maybe he just didn't like my style of preaching. But nevertheless, that preaching, that incident, those experiences helped me later on to help a whole lot of people. And then after 23 years of being a policeman, I watched fellow officers go through absolute hell. Much of it, they caused themselves, but a whole lot of it was due to the stress that they were under in the kind of work that we were doing. They started making irrational decisions, decisions that affected the rest of their lives. And the thing about police work, and firemen and the emergency room workers, doctors, nurses, divorce was prominent. Oh my God. And this is where we spent our little circle. Cops, firemen, rescue ambulance, doctors, ER nurses. And the funny thing is, not only was divorce high among all these people, but for whatever reason, divorce was also high in the church. Yes, yes. After seeing all of this in so many others' lives and watching marriages fall apart at such a rapid pace, God gave me words to say to help those going through these circumstances. So what I saw and what I went through, I was able to turn and use that to help somebody else. 2 Corinthians, yes. God used my pain and experiences to help myself and others. And if anyone understands their troubles and woes, I certainly do. The struggle in their lives caused me to take a second and a third look at my own life. God has his own way of taking chaos and making something out of it. That's just what God does. We need to trust God, and we need to trust his plans, because God always has a plan. God will take our situation, however gross it may be. And some of our situations are just absolutely gross. And he will, some way, shape, or form, bring good out of it and bring purpose out of it and even use it for his glory. And, you know, we must never forget that God is in charge. And sometimes we just, that's lost on us. God is in charge. And God is sovereign. There is nobody above him. Nobody can change it. If God closes a door, no man can open it. If God opens a door, no man can close it. Huh? Nothing that occurs in our life is beyond God's knowledge. And also, God will never leave us nor forsake us. And he will follow through on our life, as the word says, until the day of the rapture. His word tells us that. So if we were to check God's record, we would find it to be absolutely superb, excellent, without fault. Why? Because he is God. So just look at the creation alone. God was completely in charge. He created this planet in 6 days, and he put life on a planet that had been chaos after he rearranged it, after he created it. Beginning with creation and all through scripture, God takes chaos and he brings something out of it. He brings it back to order. He separates the waters above the waters. Oh my God, you go back and look at Genesis. I don't have time to go into all the details of it. He brings light out of darkness. Huh? He lets the moon rule the night and the sun rule the day. Go back and read it. Huh? Do you really think God can't take our issues after creating this world? Do you think he can't take our problems, our circumstances, our chaos, and also put it back together? Huh? As his children, we need to understand that we are part of God's plan. God wants us to allow him the freedom to carry out his plan. You simply need to release your control over the situation that you're in, and you need to trust God's divine providence. Sometimes we have trouble believing this because we're so focused on the chaos instead of his plan. Get your mind off of your troubles, out of the gutter, out of your circumstances, and put your mind on God and let God take care of the circumstances, and he will. Now, you might not like the way he does it, but you have to trust God. You can't do nothing with it. Give it over to God. God wants us to trust his plan and not get so laser focused are caught up in what we're going through, in the chaos. Huh? We need to understand and accept that God always has a plan. And you know, it doesn't matter how the world and its circumstances bind us, because that's what the world does. The world chains us down. It binds us. Huh? And it doesn't matter how sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, yeah, I'm calling off all our enemies. It puts us in a bind where we see no way out. We're up against the wall. There's no place to go. And the sun is going down. But listen. We serve a true and living God. A God who is all powerful, almighty. And we need to trust him. Huh? Instead of fainting under the weight of our problems, we need to trust God. Huh? We cannot let our heart be broken by temporary defeat, because that's what it is. We cannot let our heart be broken by temporary burdens and troubles. Huh? If we were to look back in history, and all the way back to biblical days, we would see the same old pattern over and over and over again. This isn't new. What you're going through, my friend, is not new. In fact, if we can call President Lincoln as a witness, and we all know him, he's a perfect example. He failed half of his life, even to the point where it caused him to struggle with his own identity. Yes, President Lincoln. Huh? And from one failure after another, including jobs and political races, oh my God, discouragement tried to take him out. But thank God his mother instilled in him a strong sense of the grace of God and of God's word. Thank God for that. And even with an insurmountable amount of failure, oh my God, he failed so often. He kept going as an attorney chasing the Senate until God put him in the presidency. And you know the rest of that story. God has a reason for all of us and a purpose. We just have to follow through and allow God to pick us up and whisk us away, as opposed to being caught up in the chaos. Go back and look at Job. Yes, Job in the Bible. And you find the same pattern. You know what Job went through. Losing his kids, losing his cattle, losing his sheep, and so on and so on. And then bumps all over his body from the mole of his head to the sole of his feet. His own friends turning on him. Yes, that Job. But what did he do? He trusted God. Instead of concentrating on his circumstances, he concentrated on God. His own wife told him, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he said, "Woman, are you a fool? What's wrong with you? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Huh? You see, you've got to look within yourself. And you have to submit to the fact that where and when we fall short, if we lean on God, if we lean on his everlasting arms, God will give us the strength and the courage to go on, and not only go on, but to even be successful. Now, I don't intend to be long this morning. In fact, I want to bring this home with David in Psalms 13, because David brings the point home so well. Oh my God, you're talking about don't give up and don't give in to defeat. David made a lot of mistakes. David made a lot of errors. David did a lot of wrong. Does that sound like us? Yes, it does. And David had a lot of defeat. He questioned himself. And why did he question himself, preacher? Because he was going through intense failure. Failure on multiple occasions. Huh? And he waited for change. But change never came. It just seemed to evade him. It just wouldn't come. And listen to the song. In verses 1 and 2, how long, Lord? Oh, my God. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? Are you gone, Lord? Are we done here? Huh? How long will you hide your face from me? This is how he was feeling. Have you felt like this before? I know you have. Huh? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Oh, my God, Lord, how long will my enemy triumph over me because I feel so defeated? Have you ever just examined yourself and realized that you come up short? This is just you. You looking in the mirror. You're doing a self-examination. Huh? And this is what David was feeling. He had to question himself. He had to question where he stood. He had to ascertain whether or not God had given up on him, because that's how he felt. Huh? You see, the devil wants us to feel like we are forgotten by God. David wanted to know how long he should take counsel in himself with all of this sorrow in his heart. When you look within and you see nothing, nothing but a broken heart racked with pain and sorrow, it's heart-wrenching. There's nothing there. You're empty. Now what do I do, Lord? I'm calling on you. You're not answering me. And there's nothing within me. I have not. Lord, what am I going to do? My back is against the wall. And then to make it worse, you ask like David, should I even trust myself anymore? All the mistakes that I've made, my decisions have produced nothing but failure. And what does this do? It destroys your confidence. That's what it does. Huh? David's perspectives have been badly skewed. By what? By what, preacher? By poor decisions. Haven't you read David's story? Haven't preachers preached to you about David before? David had a life full of failures. Huh? Bathsheba? Huh? Seeing that woman bathing next door? He should have got a free look and let it go, but no. No, he had to send for. And then when they told him this was somebody else's wife, he did not care. Have you been there? Huh? And then when they told him this is Uriah's wife, he's a lieutenant in your army. What did he do? Brought him home thinking he would be with his wife. And when he wasn't, he sent him back to the war to intentionally be killed, so nobody would question whether or not he went in unto his own wife. My God, David, David, David. Yeah, that's David. And then do we need to go into the story of one son killing the other because of the daughter? And then her brother turns around and kills that brother who raped the other brother, Absalom, huh? And then Absalom tried to take over the throne, slept with David's concubines. Oh, my God, one mistake after another. And he's more concerned about Absalom, whom he does nothing to, for killing his own brother, than he is even about the kingdom. One mistake after another. My God, David. Yes, yes. David's heart was breaking here because he knew a lot of this was his fault. He had a right to wonder if God had given up on him. But now we talked about David. But how about us? Us with our broken families, us with our broken, cracked marriages, yes, yes, us with lost jobs, broken relationships. You know, I was talking to a girl the other day, oh my God, Now, this is going to seem harsh, but she's married, and this is what she said to her sister. She said, you know, I love you, right? And she says, you come home after all this time you've been away, and every time you come home messed up and broken, she says, I know what's happened. You've broken up again, aren't you? The sister wasn't married. She said, yeah. She said, what happened? And she told her what happened. She says, can I tell you something? She says, go ahead, sis, because I know you're going to tell me anyway. She says, you know what you're doing, and we talked about this before, is you are renting love. You're a renter at love. Now, all you're doing is being used. You're using the house. You're letting the house be used. But your name is never going to go on the mortgage. Wow. Wow. And the sister just looked at her like, wow. She said, I don't mean no harm. I know you don't. And she said, and thank you for that. You are a renter at love. You're letting the house be used, but your name is never going to go on the mortgage. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And no wonder we feel like giving up. No wonder we feel like giving in to defeat. My, 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 my. Some of us have gone through some stuff. We've got estranged kids. Our own kids won't even talk to us anymore. It's enough to feel defeated. Huh? And then you look at verses 3 and 4. Look on me and answer. Oh, Lord, my God, please answer me. Please enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. I'm hurting over here, Lord. Do you care? Enlighten me, because I'm dying over here. Huh? Something has snapped in me. I'm feeling humiliated. A darkness has gathered around me. Sometimes I feel like I could just crawl into a hole somewhere. Oh, I'm looking for light, Lord, and I desperately need a light. Oh, what a terrible place David was in. And many of us, we've been to that place. Some of us are in that place right now. Whether it's for decisions we've made, whether it's for things we've done, whether it's just life beating us up, we are in that place. We want to give up and we want to give in to defeat. And David is telling us, who went through all of this, don't you give up and don't you give in. David said he felt like dying. I've talked to people who've been divorced, and they said they felt like they were dying. My God. Yes. They said they felt like they those who were moving, being forced to move all of a sudden after so many years, they said they felt like they were dying. All the stuff they've gathered over all these years, and suddenly they got to get up and move. They got so many days. Those who are caught up in bereavement said even though they lost someone else, they feel like they are dying. People who've been on their job for over 20 years and all of a sudden they've been let go for whatever reason, they said they feel like they were dying. Lord, I just need rest from my weariness. I need rest from my struggle. My sorrows and my fears and my broken relationships and living with somebody who I'm not married to, who I don't have a ring with, who I gave my life to. Lord, I'm caught up in my troubles. Help me, oh God. I'm rattled, huh? I'm shaken. And here's the thing. I have succeeded before, and I realize now that is no guarantee as a sustaining assurance. I can be up today and down tomorrow. My God. David is saying to himself, how could this have happened? My God, how can this be? Lord Jesus, how can this be? This was the threshold of depression. This was a real battle. A real struggle, huh? And some people say depression is like a black curtain of despair coming down on our life. Others say it's like a black or gray menace enveloping us. And some call it that old black dog. Call it what you will. All I can tell you is, it's real. And it's been around a long, long time. This didn't just happen yesterday. As we see with Lincoln, as we see with David, as we see with Job. David was telling himself in this psalm, I have to find a way out of this darkness. I have to find a way out of this defeat. Listen, 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 listen. This is important. Verses 5 and 6. David says, but I trust in your unfailing love. Oh my God. I trust in your loving kindness. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Oh my God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, failure and defeat are never fun. And most times, they are extremely painful. But you need to do what David did. Take value from your horrible experiences. Don't go through stuff and not learn anything. Huh? Learn from your pain. Learn from your awful experiences. And also, remember, God will never leave you or forsake you. What you're going through, God will go through it with you. The bumps of yesterday may be what helps you climb tomorrow. You see how David put it? In the past, look at 5 and 6. I have trusted in your loving kindness. So for my future, I'm going to rejoice in your salvation. Huh? You have dealt bountifully with me in the past. Listen, listen, listen. So I'm going to sing your praises for the present and for the future. My God. David learned from his defeat. And it made him connect more with God. And how about us? Sometimes you have to look back in order to look ahead. Our past experiences with God ought to help us trust him once again and even more for the future. Just like David did, huh? David said the provision of yesterday offers us hope for tomorrow. Huh? David wants us to have an upward reach of faith in the gloom of defeat. He wants us to put our defeat and anguish, our struggles, in context, or if you please, in proper perspective. Huh? And David is saying to us, it is always too soon to quit. Don't you give up and don't you give in to defeat. God is still in control. Even when it feels like it's time to give up, don't you give up and don't you give in. The songwriter said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Can we just give God the praise and sing with the songwriter no matter what we're going through? And can we say, I'm free? Praise the Lord, I'm free? Huh? You know, when praises go up, blessings come down. Huh? It's all about releasing our anguish and releasing our troubles to God and allowing Him to give us leadership and direction. God will give us guidance if we just get out of the way. He will lead us and guide us to what we should be doing next. But we have to get out of the way, and we cannot give up, and we cannot give in to defeat. Come on, organist. Come on. The songwriter said, praise the Lord, I'm free. Huh? No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. Oh, it's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I think I might even try to sing this. Yes. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just another blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. The doors of the church are open. Why don't you come? Somebody needs to say to the Lord this morning, I was giving up. And I was given in to defeat. But after this message, I feel encouraged. I feel inspired. I feel like I want to do like David did. Lord, I want to trust you once again. I want to trust in your loving kindness. I want to give you my present and my future. Will you come? Will you come? Praise the Lord. Will you come? Yes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this message. Let it resonate in somebody's heart, somebody's mind, somebody's soul, even now, causing them to say, I've done a lot of things to myself. I've even done a whole lot of things to others. And I felt like giving up. I felt a darkness around me. But I want to trust God now and do it God's way and not my way. Oh God, let it be so right now. Let them give their life to you. Let them be inspired. Let them be encouraged. Let them be uplifted. And let them be saved. In the name of Jesus, oh God, this is my prayer. And I thank you for the answer and the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Faith Worth Finding Ministries Weekly Encouragements by Nam Ware. God bless you. Won't you tell a friend? And don't forget, this is available on podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon. Amen.